I would invite you to turn in your pew Bibles, continuing our study of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, and we'll be reading through the 16th verse, and that's on page 953 of our pew Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. This is the word of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can worship you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning, especially for the work of the Holy Spirit, Father. Holy Spirit never brings glory to himself, always bringing glory to the Father and to the Son. But thank you that your Holy Spirit, Father, enables us to understand the truth of your word, that it brings illumination, Father. Your Holy Spirit brings understanding to the simplest, to the scholar, to the youngest, to the oldest. We thank you for that and pray that you would be opening our eyes even today, Father, that we might behold wondrous things in your law. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking today about gospel wisdom, if I were to ask y'all as the church family to give a great biblical example of wisdom, I believe that many of you, especially if you've grown up in the church, Sunday school, you would immediately respond with the name King Solomon. When we think of wisdom, often we think of Solomon. And why is that? You remember that when Solomon became king, the Lord appeared to Solomon one night and asked the question and said to Solomon this, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And after giving thanks to God for his great and steadfast love, Solomon made this spiritual request. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind. That can also be heart. Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had made this request for wisdom, and the Lord honored that request for wisdom. And soon after, the Lord bestowed that gracious gift, exceptional wisdom, spiritual wisdom, to Solomon. You might remember the next event there in the Old Testament. Two women, two new mothers appear to Solomon. Actually, ESV is very plain. Two prostitutes came to Solomon. They both had babies, and in the middle of the night, one mother's baby had died. And so these two women came before Solomon, one living baby, one dead baby, and they asked Solomon to decide, you know, who the real mother was. And you can read the account there in 1 Kings chapter 3. I won't read it for you. It's a great story, great gospel story. But you hear this final verse. Solomon made a very wise decision as God directed him. And we read this, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. They perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. And we learn here from Solomon that those who possess God's wisdom give a radiant witness for their Lord. It was true in Solomon's reign. We're going to see today it's true for this church, Christ Church at Corinth. And it's still true today. God grants us wisdom, godly wisdom, gospel wisdom, so that we might be radiant witnesses for Christ. After hearing this Old Testament account, I would invite you again. It's important that you keep your Bibles open as we look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 and following, 6 through 16. This is a difficult passage of Scripture. I'd say that not to put you to sleep or so that you would give up, but it takes close attention. Looking at each verse, looking at God's truth here, and it's about wisdom. There's a generous use of the word wisdom in 1 Corinthians there in the first chapter. But remember, we left off with wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And because of him, that's God, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, here we see that Christ, as a revelation of God's wisdom, reveals God's righteousness. He graciously redeems us from our sins. He grows us in holiness. And an important principle here as we go through this, we must never seek to understand God's wisdom apart from the person and work of Christ. That seemed to be the challenge here for the church at Corinth. You know, there were those who were trying to say, we're wise. Either we're born wise, we've studied, we're sharp people. They tried to use their wisdom as a boasting point. And here, God graciously humbles those who were proud of wisdom, but he gives hope to those who think, well, I don't have wisdom. You know, I'm not very smart. Hadn't been to school. And God says, yes. Yes, you can know gospel wisdom as you see it in Christ. So there is that promise, but there's a responsibility as well. Since God reveals his gospel wisdom, and here's the truth we're going to be focusing on, since God reveals his gospel wisdom, all believers bear witness for Christ. You know, yes, we're called to be wise followers of Christ so that we might bear witness for Christ. Well, in what ways do Christians bear witness to gospel wisdom and to Christ? It begins there in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We see the source of gospel wisdom, and that is our sovereign God, the source of gospel wisdom. Here again, verse 6, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. You know, there's going to be some key words here that we need to be paying attention to. And the first one there is that word mature. King James uses the word perfect. You know, what does it mean to be mature as a Christian? Well, looking at that word in light of 1 Corinthians and in light of Scripture, a mature Christian is a sinner who possesses assurance of salvation because of what Christ has done for them on the cross. They're progressing in their walk of faith with Christ. They're worshiping Christ. They're maintaining a loving unity with their fellow believers. There is no sinful boasting. One definition of mature comes from Simon Kistemacher. Those who accept the gospel of Christ's cross experience God's power in their lives, expect the renewal of all things as a result of Jesus' resurrection. And really, it's all of us who are mature. If you know God's gracious love for you in Christ, if you're feeding upon the Word, if the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, then you are mature. And that's not something I'm telling you. That's something that God's Word would be telling you. You know, there aren't different classes of Christian. Well, mature, and I'm down here. No, God's Word says, you know, when you're in Christ, loving Christ, following Christ, feeding upon his Word, then you're all mature. And that's a good thing. You know, but there's going to be a contrast. Knowing you're all mature, you know, there's a contrast here at the beginning between worldly wisdom and gospel wisdom. What's worldly wisdom? Look again at God's Word. Verse 6, although it is not a wisdom of this age. You know, what's the wisdom of this age? You know, I would submit to you that it's fleeting wisdom. Something that society would call true today, powerful today, but then it's passé tomorrow. It's fallen wisdom. It's wisdom that finds its source in sinful man and woman. And finally, it's futile. You know, it really accomplishes nothing. You know, this gospel wisdom, contrasted with the worldly wisdom, this gospel wisdom does not find its source in the political leaders or the ivory tower thinkers of their era. Because they will soon pass away. They're doomed to pass away. That's what God's Word says here. Soon they won't be on the front headlines. They won't be on the magazine covers. You know, their blogs won't be the blogs with the million hits. You know, they'll soon pass away. And so here God reassures us in verse 7, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God. This is God's wisdom, God's gospel wisdom. And four scriptural truths here about God's wisdom, just there in verse 7, real quickly. First, it's a mystery, but we impart a secret or a mystery. That which was previously concealed is now revealed to you in Christ. It's secret. Secondly, it's hidden. you know, related words, but there are differences. It's sovereignly concealed by God. It's disclosed in God's wise timing. Here, Matthew 11, verse 25, thinking about hidden. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." Third, God's wisdom is providential. It's been decreed. English Standard Version uses the word decreed. New American Standard, a little bit more forceful, says predestined. You know, God has chosen to give you his wisdom in Christ. Before the ages, from all eternity, God knew that he was going to impart his gospel wisdom to us. For our glory. Imagine that. So that we might be living by his wisdom for his glory. Not so that we can brag on it or boast in it, but for his glory. And the fourth truth is this: our sovereign and saving God is the source of wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 6 puts it this way: the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know, but there's another contrast here between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. You know, there in verse 8, you know, so that we would never see, okay, well, worldly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, they're pretty close, they're pretty related. No, here what God's word is saying, they are light years apart. None of the rulers of this age understood that. Notice it includes the word none. Not one understands a God's secret, hidden, sovereignly decreed wisdom. And how can God then charge them with spiritual ignorance, spiritual foolishness? Because they claim to know God's wisdom, but this truth witnesses against them. For if they had, last part of verse 8, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they were such wise people, thinking through their actions, how it would impact everyone, then they would not have put the Lord Jesus Christ to death on the cross. Why? Because Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, fully paying the price for our salvation, fully redeeming us, giving us that sure hope of life eternal, that Jesus Christ himself would be sitting upon the throne of heaven after his resurrection, interceding for us. But there's a word of comfort here. Contrast still thinking of the source of gospel witness, but hear the word of comfort in verse 9. I know I told you at the beginning that this is difficult. Well, verse 9 is probably the most difficult verse to understand, and we'll take a pass at it. Encourage you to read it, and if in your study of God's word you have some thoughts, I would love to discuss it, study it with you. But hear it. It starts off, "But as it is written." Whenever you see that in Scripture, whenever you hear Jesus say it or see it in one of the epistles, it means they're quoting Old Testament Scripture, quoting it as truth. You know, God's truth, God's power. And the verse that is being quoted here, I believe, is Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. Let me read it to you in the King James. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." And then again, reading Isaiah 64, 4 in English Standard Version. Still, you'll look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. You know, and so even with our own ears, we can say, well, there are some unique differences here. But by and large, there is more consistency. And the thrust of this verse comes at the end there, what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to imagine, to pay attention to God's revealed will, they'll know that God has prepared a place in glory for them. And by correlation, you know, those who know that comfort are the truly wise ones. You know, our wise God graciously gives his loved ones the glorious assurance of heaven because of Christ's completed work at the cross. Our wise God has prepared a place, a home for us in heaven, for those who love him and who know the gracious love of Christ. That gospel wisdom comes from God, who brings us hope and comfort in this life and for all eternity. You know, there's a source of gospel wisdom. You know, and that wisdom comes from God himself. You know, Reformed Theological Seminary, where I graduated from seminary back in 1992, but actually they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this very year, 2015. It was founded in 1965. The motto for Reformed Theological Seminary has remained the same since its start. Very simple motto: a heart for Scripture and a mind for God. A heart for Scripture and a mind for God. You know, I think that's good for seminaries. It's good for seminary students, but it's good for churches. It's good for us as Christians to say we have a heart for Scripture. We have a mind for God, you know, a mind that desires to know about God, to know about his love for us, and to know that we can be showing our love for him and our gospel witness, the source of gospel wisdom. But then the Spirit is the second truth of gospel wisdom, and here it's the Holy Spirit. So the source of godly wisdom, and now the Spirit of godly wisdom in verses 10 through 13. You know, here we begin to see the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Christ is at the center, but here at the very beginning of 1 Corinthians, we're given a theology, scriptural truths about the Holy Spirit. Later on in 1 Corinthians, there's going to be a lot of discussions, a lot of division about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And here at the very beginning, this is foundational gospel truth about the Holy Spirit, that it's important for the church at Corinth to understand and for us to understand. You know, and the first truth about the Spirit of gospel wisdom is the Holy Spirit discloses God's wisdom. Look there, verse 10. These things God has revealed, not concealed. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And I'm so thankful that it says God has revealed to us. You know, Paul doesn't say, well, he's revealed it to me. Maybe one day you might know God's wisdom. You know, hear God's word said, no, God has revealed to us, all of us who are trusting in Christ, that truth. You know, and what do we learn at first about the Spirit? The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For those of you who like to study word origins, the Greek word there for depths is the word from which we get bathysphere. For those of you who like oceanography, bathysphere, you know, those special vessels they build that can go down to the depths of the ocean and not be crushed. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit searches the depths of God, deeper than any gold mine, deeper than the deepest canyon in the ocean. You know, by the way, it's about 7 miles, not quite 7 miles deep in the Mariana Trench. You know, but here we're reading about the depths of God's wisdom. You know, you'll hear that elsewhere in Scripture, the depths of God's wisdom. Romans 11, verse 33. It really is a doxology, a praise, but hear this. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how unscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Charles Hodge, in thinking about this ministry of the Holy Spirit, searching the depths of God, puts it this way. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, therefore is fully competent to reveal that wisdom which had for ages been hidden in God. And then we hear this companion verse, 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who knows a person's thought? He's trying to help us apply this. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person? Sort of like the children trying to guess which letter I had selected. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Yes, there is one who understands the depths of God's wisdom. But praise God, there is one. You know, God's wisdom is not hidden, it's not locked up like Fort Knox gold. You know, here God discloses his wisdom to us through his Holy Spirit. He declares his wisdom. Verses 12 and 13. We've not received the spirit of the world. That's not a good thing, a sinful spirit of the world. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart, or we speak, again that plural pronoun, we speak this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So how should God's gift of wisdom impact us? You might be asking at that point, you know, preacher, you know, what's the application? Where does the rubber meet the road here? Well, let me give you one here, and then a couple in a few minutes at closing. You know, our primary calling, one of our primary callings as Christians, is to clearly, compassionately, and consistently speak God's gospel wisdom to the world around us. Our world desperately needs it. You know, God's Holy Spirit enables us to interpret spiritual truths to those who are spiritual, especially speaking God's wisdom one to another, but as well bearing witness to a watching world around us. You know, Together for the Gospel, some of our church family, Lauren and Johnny went, I can't think of who else went with y'all, meeting again in 2016, I think April, Louisville, Kentucky, and the theme this year has to do with the solas, what they call the solas of the Reformation, solas, you know, only, alone. And I won't quote them to you in Latin because I don't know Latin, but in English, Scripture alone, by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, for God's glory alone. I'm not sure who composed it, but they've given another way of looking at those solas of the Reformation that I think are helpful and apply to us. Not man's wisdom, Nothing we earn, nothing we accomplish, no other mediator, not for our praise. Not man's wisdom. Not trying, again, to be anti-intellectual here. Not to say it's not good to go to college, not good to go to seminary or graduate school. You know, but even one without an earned degree can be a wise person when they know the Word of God and bear witness to that. The spirit of gospel wisdom. And finally, the supremacy of gospel wisdom. Just in these last little bit, you know, here you see every person of the Trinity at work. You see God the Father at work in the opening verses. You see the Holy Spirit at work. And now we'll see Christ himself at work in these closing verses. The supremacy of gospel wisdom, lest we think, okay, it's really not that important. You know, it's good for us maybe to know on Sunday, maybe one other day during the week or season of the year. But here it's vital for us to see God's wisdom as supreme. There's a contrast again. A lot of contrasts in 1 Corinthians, well, in Scripture. And he begins there with the natural person or the unspiritual person. You know, thinking of the natural person, you know, what's a natural person? The natural person, unspiritual person, is the one who refuses to accept God's wisdom. They reject the things of the Spirit of God because they simply do not understand them. God's wisdom and God's ways are folly to them. And I'm sure we can think of people that we know that would fit that description. But contrasted with that, we have the spiritual person, the wise person, verse 15. This is the man, woman, teen, or comprehending child of faith in Christ that possesses God's Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God that's revealed in his word. The spiritual person discerns or judges all things. You know, stop there for half a second, well, a little bit longer. You know, this is a vital promise for us today. You know, we live in a world, and, you know, even a world of churches where people cry out, well, who are you to judge? You know, who are you to judge about sexual immorality, sanctity of life, same-sex marriage? And here God's word clearly proclaims to us, you know, the spiritual person judges, discerns all things. God calls all believers to be spiritually discerning, wise Christians, being able to discern between right and wrong, being able to discern living that life that's honoring and pleasing and glorifying to God and living that life that's just pleasing to self. You know, that's what it means to be the spiritual person. That person who possesses gospel wisdom. But let me add this important note. When we are living that life of gospel witness, it's going to be a vibrant witness for Christ. It'll be a radiant, rich witness, a loving witness for Christ. Matthew Henry puts it this way. And the apostles were empowered by the Spirit to make known his mind to us. And in the Holy Scriptures, the mind of Christ and the mind of God in Christ are fully revealed to us. Observe, it is a great privilege of Christians that they have the mind of Christ revealed to them by his Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. It's not a matter of preferences. You know, it's not a matter of opinion. You know, God gives us his clear gospel wisdom in his word. You know, we have the mind of Christ. That's a great privilege. a gracious privilege, but it's a great responsibility. You know, in our world today, you know, a few thoughts here in closing, application. You know, first, let's give thanks to our wise God for giving us the mind of Christ. You know, we're not robots. You know, we're not those puppets on a string. You know, we have the mind of Christ, that gospel wisdom. That gospel witness wisdom ought to humble us. Don't ever take pride in that promise. You have the mind of Christ. That ought always to humble us. Secondly, it gives us the hope of heaven. Remembering this world is not our home, but that we are to be living in this world as God's witnesses, his salt and light. And finally, may it be a prayer. Almost had us sing it again. This is a glorious hymn that we've already sung, but let me read just the first verse again in closing. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. When we know God's gospel wisdom, then we will bear witness for Christ, for our good, but ultimately for his glory. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the wisdom of your word. Lord, at times it overwhelms us, and yet your Holy Spirit works in our hearts, enabling us to understand, to apply it. We thank you that you have given us the mind of Christ. Thank you that you have prepared that place for us in glory. Thank you, Father, that we can be your witnesses to that gospel wisdom, even here and now. And Lord, use us this week to be witnesses for your gospel wisdom in the workplace, in our neighborhoods, on the sports field, in the classroom, wherever it might be, Father. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.